I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 109. You're listening to The Shaletta Show, sponsored by Otto Brimmer Trust, right here on your good neighbor station, WCCO Radio. This morning, as soon as my husband woke up, before the sun came up, he was downstairs, two computers up, cards out, checkbooks out. We're getting ready to pull our money from Wells Fargo. We've been customers with them since 2004, the year we got engaged. We've bought two homes in two different states with them. We have four college accounts for four different children. My company, Shaletta Makes Me Laugh, has a business account. I got a little stash account that he doesn't know about at Wells Fargo. I'm sure he has one that I don't know about at Wells Fargo. And they will all eight accounts, nine accounts, be moved to U.S. Bank. After the Wells Fargo CEO, Charles Scharf, came out and said that, that he just can't find a pool of black talent to recruit from. That was back in June. It's just, as he said, it's limited. And I don't know if he is ignorant about the talent of black people, or he willfully chooses not to see it. But I personally felt offended that he would say that out loud, that he believes that. That is his bias, that there are not talented black bankers and accountants and professionals, marketing experts and diversity experts, and people who can help Wells Fargo to be the best bank that it can be. There are dozens of historically black colleges and universities that churn out excellent graduates every year. Howard University and Fisk University and Texas Southern University. Not to mention the predominantly white, big, classic universities that have been around forever, Princeton, Harvard, University of Minnesota, who also churn out very intelligent and smart and capable and competent talent that he could choose from. So when he said those words, I immediately, and they were made in a Zoom meeting. They were reported originally by Reuters, and there was a media backlash in Washington, on Wall Street, on social media. But there was action by African-American people who have been banking, who have their mortgages through, and who have trusted for years Wells Fargo to have their best interests at heart. If this is how your CEO feels, that he doesn't see that we are invisible, our talents, our capabilities are invisible, our intelligence is not seen to him. It's just in the stories that came out after that about black and brown people who went to Wells Fargo looking for work and were turned down. And then once they didn't check their race, all of a sudden they were called back for appointments to get work. It's just been mind blowing at the stories that have come out. And he came out with a little old funky apology. You know, he's sorry that people misinterpreted what he said. There was no call to action. No, we're going to make this right. No, I'm going to set some goals and we're going to do better as an organization to make sure we cultivate and retain black talent. So I had to call Reggie Clark, who's a diversity expert from the Twin Cities, lives in Houston now, but has his finger on the pulse of this story. Reggie, give me your thoughts on this.
Well, first of all, Shalane, thank you for having me. It's incredulous. I just think for him as a leader, to be able to say that statement in a Zoom call with an amount of hubris, he wasn't concerned at all about the backfall. I mean, the backlash on that. So I did some digging. I looked up about him, and he's been the CEO at Wells Fargo for a year now. And when he first got in there about March of last year, I looked at their website. He came in talking about how he wanted to build the right foundation. He wanted to have clear responsibility and authority, accountability, a culture of accountability. And this is the leader. Accountable for what? What are they exactly trying to do? So I just thought it was amazing that he could discount an entire race of people, some who work in his firm, a lot who work in his firm, who are VPs currently, that he could just completely discount them. So I was just shocked by it.
And the fact that nobody called him out, that should have been a Zoom fight. That should have been the first Zoom fight that he just made this blanket statement. Reggie, I just don't even know what just made this blanket statement. As if, you know, and Reggie, I just don't even know where to even begin with this, because does he not see the talent, or does he not want to see the talent?
Well, Shalane, I also saw that he's been in a leadership position in banking industry for 24 years. So just think about how many people he's denied opportunity to over those 24 years. He, as a leader for 24 years, could have been growing individuals of color, females, individuals with disabilities, LGBTQ individuals. But instead, after 24 years of leadership, the best thing that he could come up with is there's not enough black people out there in the talent pool.
And, you know, that's just, the excuse that a lot of people use. And so when they hear their leader saying something like that, then that becomes a rallying cry. It gets echoed around the company, and then that becomes a culture, right?
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started here, but I am going to say this. Imagine the amount of collusion that has to go on in order to deny somebody opportunity. So the fact that this man as a CEO has come out, made this blanket statement, even at a time when Wells Fargo used to have a program where they tried to bank the unbanked, where they went after individuals who may be undocumented, and they tried to create banking products for them. So for this individual to come out on the other side and say, no, we don't see a lot of talent, and for there to not be any immediate repercussion from the board of Wells Fargo shows that that in itself is a level of complicitness. That right there is some collusion to show that they're okay with that.
And see, that's the problem I have, right, is the silence, is the letting it go on, is the not calling it out, is the not saying something about it. And, you know, silence speaks volumes. And, you know, allies are always asking, what can I do? How can I help? How can I make a difference? When something is wrong, you have to speak up, and nobody did. It is October. That was said in June. How did that go on for so long without somebody speaking out and up?
Well, Shalane, you know, I come from Rochester, New York, and, you know, recently in Rochester, New York, they had an individual who was murdered by the police. He was killed by the police. And the mayor in Rochester happens to be an African-American woman. And they covered that up for 5 months. So I think, you know, there's a power vacuum here, right? So when people are afraid of losing their own position, they tend to be silent. They tend to sit back and watch things happen rather than be a voice of reason, because they fear putting themselves out there, their own livelihood at risk.
And, you know, we're going to take a quick break, Reggie. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about the apology. You know, I would cuss, but I want to keep my little old job. But it was pretty much half apology. And one of the things that, you know, you talked to me about was goals and actions after an apology, after something like this happens. And none of that was made. What does it say about Wells Fargo? What does it say about how they feel about African-Americans? And how is this going to play out with the customers that they have to now face, who, like my husband and I, are walking into their bank, canceling out 8-9 accounts, taking out our money, and going somewhere like U.S. Bank that has a Greg Cunningham as the director of diversity and that cares about people in our community. We're going to have that discussion coming up. It's 1:23. You're listening to the Shaletta Show. I don't like what I see when I look at Wells Fargo, which is why my husband, when I left for work, had two computers and 511 debit cards and several checkbooks, because we are taking our money, closing our accounts out after the CEO said there was just, you know, not much black talent out there, insulted the intelligence and the integrity and the capabilities of people who look like me. And so, you know, what does that say about diversity at the company, their recruitment of diversity? You know, he came out with an apology. Many people say it wasn't enough. And so I'm talking with diversity and human resources expert Reggie Clark. Spent time here in the Twin Cities, now down in Houston. But Reggie, you told me something I'd never heard of before, because I'm a regular worker. I'm not, you know, in those meetings. But you talked about action steps and setting goals with regard to doing something about what he said and what he believes. And none of that was present in his apology. He talked about people misinterpreting and misrepresenting what he said, but nothing about what the company was doing.
Well, Shaletta, when I read his apology, what I'm seeing is the usual shtick, the usual words that are given out at this time. Again, there's nothing meaningful in there. There's no action items. If this was a sales meeting, if these were sales goals, then people would be held accountable and they would reach those sales goals, or they would do a meeting afterwards to find out why weren't we able to meet these goals and what can we do in the future to meet these goals. So I'm looking at his apology, and there's a part where he says, well, this was an insensitive comment reflecting my own unconscious bias, end quote, right? That was a very conscious thing that he said. There's no unconscious biasness when you outrightly call out a group of people and say there's no talent there. There's a limited amount of talent there. So that was very blatant what he did. There's no unconscious bias behind that at all. But he did use a catchphrase that's out right now, unconscious bias.
What does that mean? What does that mean? I went to public school. What is unconscious bias? You can't be the CEO of a company with unconscious bias. You can be a grandpa, you know, who's living on a farm, who doesn't have access or, you know, contact with very many people who don't look like you and have an unconscious bias. But you cannot be the CEO of a major corporation like Wells Fargo and have unconscious bias. What that is to me is BS.
You should not be a CEO. You should not even be a manager or a leader, a first line leader, with the idea of being able to simply say, oh, that was my unconscious bias. Now, is unconscious bias a real thing? Yes, it keeps us safe. If I see two guys that are way bigger than me late at night coming towards me, my idea is that these are two big guys. I better cross the street. Bias keeps us safe. So having bias by itself is not a bad thing. It's what you do with that bias sometimes that makes it a bad thing. So he, as a leader, and let us not forget the fact that he's been in leadership roles for 24 years. How has that quote unquote unconscious bias impacted his decisions over 24 years? How many people have been denied opportunity? And for him to get up there and not be able to say, hey, in my 24 years as a leader in banking, this is what I've done. Here are some quantifiable actions that I've taken to help individuals of color, individuals from other backgrounds. And the fact that he doesn't have that, and the fact that he's not able to say, here are some actionable items that we will do, is a negative to me. And it shows that it's probably going to be more of the status quo.
How does he still have a job?
At this I don't know, but he shouldn't have any black and brown accounts anymore. That's for sure. Just by the simple fact that this board hasn't taken action. And so, Shaletta, if this happened in June and we're finding this out almost 4 months later, how long do you think the board has known about this? And what have they done to try to get in front of this story? Absolutely nothing.
And what does that say to your black customers?
So, again, like I said earlier, it shows that they're complicit. They're okay with that.
But in this day and age, where we are in this country with racial reconciliation going on, and companies are saying, you know what, we got it wrong. We need to do right. Companies like Target are saying they are hiring more black and brown people. It's a goal. It's a target. I think the number was 20% more. How can Wells Fargo basically get away with something like this and continue with business as usual when they have insulted an entire group of people?
Well, Shaletta, I'm going to say this, and I don't say this easily, and I say it with a heavy heart, but in my opinion, Trump, our president, is representative of a lot of Fortune 500 leaders and their thinking. You know, that it's a power grab, and how do we maintain this power for us and people who look like us? So there's no effort unless you feel like that person that doesn't look like you has the same agenda as you. There's not a lot of effort to grow talent from diverse backgrounds. There's a power vacuum, and the idea is let's keep the power to us and people who look like us. The only thing I can think for Wells Fargo is people need to actively start thinking, I don't want their banking products.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're doing. Like I said, when I left this morning, my husband had two laptops up. He had the debit cards out. He had the credit cards out. We've got four, college savings accounts. We've got, my little secret stash that I had to tell him about because he ain't know, the joint account and the business account. And we've got to go because in good conscience, I can't keep paying fees and giving money to a company who doesn't see me as talented, who doesn't see my husband as talented, who won't see the talent and grow the talent in my children. Tell me what it is. And this is what people don't understand. When we say Black Lives Matter, we're talking about our life, our careers, our business, our dollars. And how important are Black dollars to Wells Fargo? Can they just afford to turn away and say we're not going to do this diversity thing because it ain't working for us and we don't need to?
Shaletta, I'm going to tell you a quick story, and I love this story. So I'm a huge college football fan, and I was in New Orleans for the last championship. And that last championship happened to have Clemson University at there. Clemson has a tradition when they go somewhere, they use $2 bills and it has a Clemson paw stamped on it. And the reason that they do that is at one time they were denied a bowl or something like that. I can't remember the true story, but the gist of the story is they use these $2 bills with the Clemson paw stamped on it to show the economic impact of Clemson fans when they go somewhere. That's a true story.
Wow.
So I think the only way that Wells Fargo will realize the economic power is, again, to do the economic boycott, right? Pull those accounts from Wells Fargo, go elsewhere, look for companies or banking institutions that are opportunistic right now. Because if I was U.S. Bank or if I was another large bank, I would absolutely roll out a bunch of products. And it wouldn't be just targeted at black people, but it would be targeted for groups where black people are disproportionately represented. Mm. And I would definitely be looking to capitalize on that market right now.
And, I keep hitting refresh, thinking that there is another story, that Wells Fargo has come out with something that will keep us from having to do all the work that it takes to move our money to another bank. And nothing has happened. The last story was 3 days ago. They left it at that hat apology and they have moved on. And so I just can't tell you how hurt I am that since 2004, my family has done business with Wells Fargo faithfully and religiously. Even when partnering with other banks to do some community service outreach, we have stayed steadfast with them. And to find out that their CEO feels this way, the board is not going to challenge him, and nobody in management or leadership is stepping up to say this is wrong and here's what we're going to do about it.
Well, Shaletta, again, if you're complicit in this, you're not going to try to stop it. And what's happening now, Shaletta, you as a news professional, as a media professional, and I've always had tremendous respect for you, and I think you're awesome at what you do. But, you know, this news cycle has become so short with Trump. You know, everything lasts about 5 minutes now, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what Wells Fargo may be hoping for. Hey, if we just weather this storm, it'll go away. And then we'll be on to the next thing. We'll be back to business as usual. So I definitely commend you for making sure that this doesn't end up on page 3 or 4 right away. This needs to stay on the front page until either enough people take away their accounts from Wells Fargo or Wells Fargo shows something that indicates that they're really committed to change. And by saying that they're committed to change, there should be some action items. And lastly, real quick, Shaletta, mm-hmm. when the NFL committed $300 million, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any action items tied to that $300 million.
You know, they spray painted the end zone and came out with some T-shirts. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see them saying, here's where our $300. Shaletta, I know if I have $30, I want to know where it's going. And to give somebody $300 million and not to say, here's the action items, here's the list of things that you'll be accountable for with this $300 million, to me just shows how much money the NFL has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Reggie, thank you so much for being here on the Shaletta Show, for giving us some insight, talking about unconscious bias, the Wells Fargo CEO, and how black dollars matter and what we can do to make sure that our voice is heard is take action. If he won't, you know, the thing that, you know, we had to make a decision about is if the Wells Fargo CEO and the company won't take action, then we will. If they won't have action items, then we're going to have some action items at our house. They, you know, they really, Reggie, they gave us no choice except to leave.
Shaletta, the old saying is for every action is an equal reaction, right?
Yeah.
So you're not, don't wait for them to take action because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to do business as usual. So I commend you and Sean for taking your business out of Wells Fargo, and I hope more people decide to do so.
Thank you so much for allowing us to bend your ear and giving us some of your brain matter this morning, your expertise on diversity. We'll call on you again because I'm sure this has will happen, sadly, and we will need an explainer. So thank you for being the expert for us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Shaletta. Have a good one.
All right. It's 1:35. You're listening to The Shaletta Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.